questions?
The one thing, other thing, the very last thing you said is memorandum for the investment update. There's a new line about halfway down the page that shows what the bank interest income year to date for this year as of June 30th and what it was in 2022. And you see we've earned almost $140,000 so far this year, and last year we earned under $500,000.
Wow.
That was because we moved money from M&T investment, M&T bank to CCSB.
Nice.
This is after paying the interest rate on the deposits.
Can I ask you a question on page one?
Yes.
The second page, it says $309,000 total interest income. So we have bank earnings. So the change in market value investments.
Right, correct.
What's change?
That's the value of the investment, what we could actually sell.
The bonds?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
we have to carry items that cost the market.
I understand, but when you talk about interest being made, that includes the interest, right?
On some of the lines, for total investment income, it's included, but what I'm including, the bank, the bank interest earnings is one single line, $131,000.
Yep.
And then the rest of it is, last year, because we had so many investments that were at like really, really low rates, like, you know, 1% or less, they were all underwater as far as their value goes. Now those are all, we've earned back. Last year we were running negative in that line, the market value of investments, now we're positive.
So my only point is it's $309,000.
Of investment. But that's paper. That last one is kind of is paper. That's it.
Any other questions? Vinny, is there anything new on the contract for the additional money? Have you heard anything?
We're working on a draft internally. And we hope to circulate that to you guys soon.
Vinny, our legal team.
Gotta go down to City Hall.
Yeah, you could if you'd like.
No, do you have to go down?
I don't go down.
I don't go down.
No,
I remember the last time we got an envelope with a check of $10 million, and I had to go down. I went down to the AMP over here, whatever it was, because they had a JPMC.
Yeah, and I think we didn't know what happened.
Yeah, they didn't know what it was. They kept on trying to put it in the system. Half wrench was not allowed to put the check in with $10 million. So, about an hour, they were all running around looking for the check.
It's a big operation.
Good.
We're gonna wire this time.
Yeah, no.
It's all like
it takes wires are too fast. They'd rather
we need to go
vote
to
get us
into the 21st century.
We'll have a Brinks truck show up with cash, you know.
Yeah,
on horseback.
Actually, quarters would be the center.
Rich, to that question of the new any new funding agreements that might come up, I just want everybody to keep in mind that the that value of $10 million, if that's going to be earmarked for 5 years of what our new permit goal might be. So if we say hypothetically 460 kilograms, that means we're running at an efficiency of $20,000 per kilogram moving forward in the upcoming years.
Well, it does include the FAD stuff.
Which we will have nothing. We have no FAD moving forward once we've completed years 1 through 10. So we'll be going from, we started at $85,000 per kilogram. We've been operating closer to 50 to 60. So if we're going to rely only on that one funding agreement, that means we're doing $20,000 per kilogram projects.
No, we qualify
for it
though, right?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, but... to keep the lights on, yes. We won't, that won't take us very far.
We had more Fed money, it was just we didn't spend it in time, right? You were going to call it back or something, wasn't it, this issue?
I think Kevin's point is we're not going to have enough money.
Thank you.
Going forward. Yeah, there's additional funds that were coming in from Army Corps of Engineers and things of that nature.
But that's what he's also saying is we're going to need, and Vinny was saying, we're going to need to get more aggressive with the WQIP funding and some of the state funding that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, we're running really tight with our efficiencies doing what we can for that, and we think we can, we're up to the challenge.
We're not going to get
it. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, 20,000 per kilogram is going to be hard to do.
It's not going to be possible.
Yeah. So we have to keep eyes and ears open for other opportunities that might be out there. And I would expect those other opportunities probably have to be in the $10 million range in total, because 40,000 per kilogram feels a lot better and something that we can accomplish. But once we get down to 20, the low-hanging fruit is gone, and you know, it's going to be harder. So please keep that in mind. In other news, we're up to 710 kilograms for years 1 through 10. We have another 32 kilograms pending for approval as we close out a project in North Salem. Before our next meeting with the board here, we will, it's our intention to enter into contracts for construction on another 70 kilograms. So we're heading into the winter and in the spring of 24, very with an active construction season to knock things out as quickly as we can. We'll find the, we're going to jump from that 710 up into the high 800s and ideally into the 900s pretty quickly once we start rolling off all these projects. So we're excited about that and looking forward to getting these into the ground. Let's see. We have not received any feedback from the DEC in regards to any of the new permit as it comes out. We'll continue to only get positive feedback and requests to just keep marching along and doing what we're doing from the folks in the state. So that's what we will continue to do. And overall, I guess I'd probably like to move right into the O&M discussion, unless there are any project or program specific questions from anyone.
No, but I do want to jump back into the previous discussion so everybody is aware of one of the reasons we haven't been able to go find additional funding and negotiate additional funding is we're still waiting on a permit that we've been waiting on for since 2017. Okay. And still no one inside.
Yeah. Right. So once that, hopefully, I mean, I know it's a challenge for everyone in the individual towns, and there's a lot more in that permit than just what we're dealing with here. But hopefully when that does come out, you know, we have the game plan to just hit the ground running. If there's any intention for greater discussion, it's a coalition matter when once we get beyond what the program here is doing. But we're eager to help in any way we can with any parts of the permit because we are... we're able here to do any water quality issues. We're not locked in on just phosphorus and nitrogen reduction. So keep us in mind as that new permit does come out, if there's any ways we can help. Because there may be a gap between when we can do stormwater retrofit projects. We'll have the QIP funding that can carry over. However, there is inevitably going to be a gap between when we complete 920 kilograms of reduction and when the payment from that first payment from the DEP and the contract gets settled, there's going to be a time gap. So if we're just going to be looking at things internally here as we're just doing O&M and reviewing existing projects, I'd like to start looking ahead and get an idea of what that timeline is going to be for how we can help you all across the board on everything. On the topic of O&M, we have had an intern in with us this summer, working with specifically with Corey, Sophia Harrison, and she has been working with Corey, going through individual projects across the watershed, doing inspections with us. And not surprisingly, this summer has been had a lot of intense storms. Is the best kind way to put it. But the maintenance of our projects is falling behind, and. We think we need to make sure that we're on top of whoever's doing the maintenance within your own municipalities. Tends to be your highway departments, yes. Doesn't have to be your highway departments. Many parks and recs have been going out and taking care of that as well, if the projects happen to land in parks. But the reality is that severe weather is becoming the new norm in this region. So we can't just fall back on, oh, well, we couldn't get out because there was another storm. and we couldn't get out. Another tree fell. You know, it's, you know, it's a few years running now. We've kind of had that. Last year we had a little bit of break, if I recall correctly, but in general, these intense storms are going to continue, it would seem. So our inspections are telling us that the municipalities are behind on maintenance, and we want to make sure that we finish out the last quarter of the year cleaning things up. And my assumption is many of your towns are still cleaning up from 8 inches of rain that fell in June, or whatever the case is. I know in northern Westchester, particularly in Cortland or Yorktown, everybody got slammed, and they're still trying to open up roads in that case. But if there's anything we should be looking at and doing to try to make sure that these retrofits don't fall behind in the cleanup list, then I think we got to start looking at that. If that's having a greater conversation of having maybe a contractor go out and knock out all the HDS units and the filter chamber units on behalf of the towns as a group effort that can at least advance all those items forward without having to relocate or reallocate, rather, your staff, your highway departments, your parks and rec to address the stormwater retrofits when they're trying to fix a culvert to get a road open. So this, you know, this may be worth considering, us doing a tally of all of our chamber designs, for instance, and having a contractor go out and knock this out for you guys.
When you say chambers, you talk about the inserts?
HDS units, the all filtration units, anything that you typically would use a vac truck for. You know, there's a lot out there that we could have one or two contractors go out and clean up on behalf of the towns while you're trying to still do storm cleanups. Because I know many of you have the equipment on hand, but if the equipment is busy somewhere else because you got to get a road open, then you know, we just don't want to see the retrofits fall too far behind and then we get a big bill in the future as we're trying to catch up. It might be worthwhile to consider.
Will you be reporting to us the result of your inspections?
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna summarize everything up and get back to you well in advance of, you know, even September. I'd expect this the month of August we're gonna do a roundup of everything, let everybody know this is where it's at, this is what needs to get done, and if we in particular feel as though something is, you know, let's to keep it basic, or red light, yellow light, green light. You know, if we feel like something's up in the red light, that something's got to get done, then, you know, maybe it's worthwhile to collect all the red lights and then have one contractor go out and knock it out. If we did that, again, the corporation cannot pay for the maintenance of your retrofits, but if it was something that we all came together and then split up as part of the O&M program, it's just a cost share, just like if regular maintenance was being done. But we're just, in this case, we're making sure that that it's being taken care of rather than kind of kicked down the road too far.
One of the things I'd like to just mention, the inserts that we were doing, I have in a couple of different places. The cartridges for those things, we should negotiate a price on those because they're not cheap.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because they came back to me and said, you need to replace them. I said, how do I know I need to replace them? I said, well, you need to replace them. And the cost was many, many thousands of dollars for the one parking lot. So I would not have put them in had I known it was going to be difficult. The cost for the little cartridges were as much as they are. And I told them, I said, we need to negotiate a price with you because this is ridiculous. It's almost like those, you know, the printers, they sell the printers real cheap. Cartridges cost a lot of money. That was my deal.
And to some extent, yeah, the cartridges are expensive, but it's also been the actual cleaning of those basins, which should be part of the MS4 program as it is. A lot of that cost can be absorbed into daily operations of the highway department. But yes, at $200. A filter plus the manpower to physically put them in. Enough filters, it adds up. Yeah, it adds up.
And the other tough part is how do you even know it's not working anymore? I mean, you could have a catch basin that happens to be really getting no water, and you know, there's no way for us to know whether or not they're clean. So I just pushed back on them. I said, why do I need to do them now? Because it's been a year or whatever. That was the answer. oxide in them, or some type of metal oxide that grabs the phosphorus. I don't know how, I don't know why they should be, whatever the price is, I can look it up, but they're not cheap. So, you know, from a maintenance point of view, again, it's not exactly what you were talking about, but I think it would help us if we could figure out how to get those things in a more reasonable cost.
Yeah, we'll have enough across the watershed that it's worth pursuing with VAPCO to even lower that just even a bit. Even if we have a, because eventually we'll have an idea of saying, all right, for this calendar year, we know we're going to order 500 filters. So can we just get a number reduction from $200 a filter to 175, whatever the case is. So we'll bring that topic
so
up.
So the one I got from him in May or whatever it was this year, it's 220 filter plus 400 for shipping, 30 filters, so $7,000 would be for the one parking lot, which, yeah. And I have no way of knowing whether they're used or not used. So we need to focus on that. This is one of the areas that it's fairly inexpensive for us to do this, but over a lifetime it may not be. I wasn't expecting this close.
That's it.
Alright, so the executive committee has been talking about a telecommuting policy. We've had some meetings. Chris, you want to walk everybody down through it?
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who's, you know, working from home using a laptop. It needs to identify the location where the employee would be working, and that is confirming that it's a safe place to work, because, even though they're working at home, they're still working for you, they need to have a safe place to work. Obviously, the laptop is coming from work. You haven't issued phones yet. There was some discussion at the executive committee about potentially going to a different phone system, but for now, we only have office phones. So you can see that there's some language in here about being available for on-screen consultations and only using a corporate laptop, making sure that it's regularly updated, keeping original documents at the office, hard copies to be kept in a secure location if they are brought home, and no confidential documents removed. Then job duties, field work meetings, visits, happen whether you're working remotely or working on site. Travel reimbursement from the closer of the remote site of the office. This is a policy that would allow for remote work. It would have to be approved by a supervisor. So.
And that sums it up. One of the other issues that was brought up today is the policy requires at least two people to be in the building. Well, if somebody is here but out in the field doing inspections, does that qualify as being in the office?
I said yes.
And I believe it does.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Open it up for discussion.
Can phones be forwarded from
the
office lines?
They can be. What we were talking about, the possibility, right now we're paying, I think it's the cable company, so much money for the phones. You can switch to a voice over IP and save a lot of money wherever you put the phone, it rings. But you can forward them, obviously. this is a trust thing, and the people we have right now are very trustworthy. And I don't say that lightly. I think all of you know you have employees that are just phenomenal. They show up and have to leave, you just say, fine. And then there's others you really have to track all the time. That's not the case here. It may change over time, but people coming in. But right now, I think this is something that's very doable. It kind of makes sense, especially with everybody else looking at things. You know, on sometimes Fridays or different times, it gets storms. They're going to work on them anyway.
Like to make a motion to approve the telecommuting policy as presented. So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session to discuss a personnel issue.